Once forged in the fires of PR and journalism, Curtis Dewar and Corey Westbrook united to create C-Squared. Now, on our podcast, we interview musicians and other industry professionals to give you an inside look on how to take your music to the next level.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the C-Squared Podcast. This is your host, Curtis, with my co-host, Aaliyah, and we are here today with the amazing, the wonderful new acolyte slash initiate slash new person at C-Squared. Her name is Effie, and she's been with us, I think, for like 2 weeks or something like that. So she's the new guy, new girl, whatever you want to call her. And we're here to interrogate her for a bit. Get to know her a little bit, have everybody else get to know her a little bit. And we're going to put her under the microscope, which is going to tell people who she is, what she does, and an interesting backstory, hopefully. So to start things off, thank you for braving us, Effie, and welcome to the
Yeah, hi.
So I'm going to let Aaliyah start it off because I don't want to get too weird right off the bat. We can do that later.
A little too late. Yeah, let's just go ahead and start with the basics. Effie, can you give us like a nutshell version of who you are and what you do in the realms of music?
I am a 29-year-old recording artist who makes alternative music, that very beautiful, specific niche, broad genre.
Right. Yeah, alternative is very specific, right? If you had to niche it down a little bit more, what would it be?
It's gothic with neoclassical influences and some sort of jazz influences as well.
Yeah, I think that makes sense from what I heard. So what instruments do you play? How did you get started in writing music?
So I come from a musical family. My dad was a jazz pianist. He was very, very good. He wasn't so keen on me doing it for some reason, but that didn't stop me. And I was very inspired by jazz quite early on, but I also loved punk. I wanted to be in a band, but being 13 years old, the boys didn't really want me in their band. So I learned acoustic guitar instead of electric and ended up doing folk music for about 10 years before I developed a neurological illness that stopped me from being able to play guitar anymore. And so I focused more on learning the electronic side of things and getting more into kind of programming and composing that way through MIDI. And I just kind of fell in love with that dark, wavy, gothic sound.
Wow, that's pretty crazy. How did you find the motivation to kind of pick up from scratch and relearn like new methods to make your music?
To be honest, like that was really hard. And there was like a good couple of years where I didn't feel like doing anything. I also started losing my voice. So I couldn't sing, could barely talk some days. It was hard. But I don't know, I think as musicians, we just live through music. There is no alternative. That giving up was not an alternative. It was not an option. And you find a way, I think adversity breeds ingenuity and strength. So I found a new way to do things. And honestly, it ended up being the thing that I wanted to do in the very beginning. You know, I was inspired by like Evanescence and a lot of nu metal as well, like Linkin Park and all that kind of stuff. And playing folk music is not that. So being able to then take this kind of electronic and classical approach to things, I ended up falling in love with music more than I had been in the last 10 years altogether. I'm not saying like it was a great thing that happened, but I think that we find good things in what we're given.
Absolutely. Curtis, do you have a follow-up?
Not musically. Once we get into the other aspects, I will.
Okay.
Cool.
Well,
actually, I do. I do, actually. I do. I do actually okay. have a musical follow-up question. Can you kind of go over, like, okay, so you say that you're like alternative music type thing right now.
Yeah.
How do I want to phrase this? So how come you kind of got involved with all the metal people then?
So I love classical music.
Yeah.
I love electric guitars. The closest thing that you can get with that is metal. Metal is inherently classical in its nature. It draws so much on that. I find it very elegant. I know a lot of people think it's very coarse, but I think it's an incredibly elegant genre. And even though I make alternative, I've always considered my style heavy. My lyrics are not light themes. The instrumentation I use is a bit aggressive at times. And I definitely think that even though I might not be metal, I'm definitely metal adjacent. Yeah. And that's where I've always loved metal. And I feel like I'm part of that community, even if my genre is not specifically firmly metal.
Fair. I want to talk about PR whenever we can, Leah, unless you want to keep going with the musical aspect just for a moment.
I mean, I was just going to branch off into, you know, I noticed that you have released, did you just start releasing music in the last year or so?
Yeah, so I have written about 3,500 songs. I've recorded about 10% of those, and I never released anything. I was very shy. And I was encouraged to just kind of put it out there, and I was always waiting for that right moment. But you know, a lot of change has happened over the past couple of years, you know, with everything that's been going on in the world. It kind of really put things into perspective, so I just bit the bullet and just released some stuff.
Yeah, and so it looks like you've been doing kind of singles and then an EP.
I like singles. I like things that are not attached to anything. And I like EPs, but I don't believe that, for me, an EP just comprised of random singles is just not the way. I feel like I like things to be very thematic and centralized around a theme. So, you know, while the EP had a central theme of villainy, or being vilified, the singles didn't really relate to that in any way. So I didn't want to put them in an EP together.
Yeah, I like that strategy. Do you feel like, do you feel like a lot of your songs carry on a similar theme, or did you kind of just have to play it by ear?
I mean, ultimately I write about mental health, physical health, the issues that affect the world, but I don't like it being too on the nose. So I like it being very fantastical. And when you write in a sort of fantastical setting and you convert like depression into vampires or something, then central themes start to emerge. Like you might have this many songs about this kind of thing, and it doesn't have to be depression because it's now something else. And so you can have a collection of songs about vampires and every single one of them is actually about something different, but the central theme is vampires. And I find that because I write so many songs that it's quite easy to just collect them in a neat little pile.
Yeah, neat little package. Now, how did you approach the promotion for the singles? Did you do any, or did you kind of just put it out?
So I tried. I really tried. I knew nothing. It was actually going to the 10-day sales challenge that you guys ran that I realized I'd done everything wrong. But I did try. I watched so many YouTube videos that I actually found that what I was doing was putting myself off in the end, and that I just needed to, you know, pull the trigger and do it. I was like, oh, well, it's not the right time because I haven't done this and this and this, and I don't have that and that. And I was just like, in the end, I was like, you don't have any fans anyway. I mean, you will never have any fans if you don't just put a song out. So there was no fanfare for my first one. And obviously you can't have a Spotify artist page unless you put out something. So I just thought I'll just stick. And I didn't want to put like my best song because I was like, I won't be able to promote it to anyone because I won't have an artist page. So I just kind of put up a song. And then And then I just started going and following a bunch of people on Twitter, people with similar interests, listening to their bands, giving them feedback on their bands in the hope, not expecting, but like in the hope that they would return the favor at some point. And I found a bunch of really cool musicians that way and some really nice people.
Oh, just as a quick follow-up on that. So what did you use from the sales challenge that you found, or what did you get out of the sales challenge that you thought was the most useful? And you have to say anything Aaliyah says is the key thing, obviously.
Nothing, none of my social medias were set up properly.
Fair.
Like none of them. I had no links everywhere. It was a disorganized mess. I'd post something on Twitter, but never on Facebook. And also it was insightful for me. I don't think I'm a typical fan, even though like I really love a band and I will listen to, I mean, I listen to Evanescence like once a week. I'm not on their mailing list and I don't own any merch. Realizing that I'm not the typical fan and I need to start thinking about what other people like and I need to watch what other people interact with, like that was a really big point to take away, because I don't think it innately comes to me like what people want from an artist. So that was really eye-opening.
Cool.
But especially the social media, it was not separate.
Cool. And did you see any improvements on your social media after doing it?
Yes, so much. You know, because you can track your like Linktree stats. My Linktree didn't, it just had like a Spotify link on it. since linking it all up together, it's been a lot more fluid, shall we say.
Fair. I'm just thinking what else I want to ask you about the sales challenge. Okay, so since you did sales, because I'm trying to lead into you getting into C squared at the same time, kind of building up to it though. So how did you kind of stay connected with us, I guess, after the sales challenge, I guess, is the question.
I think I followed you all. You all had lots of good insight, and I realized that watching, like obviously I as a solo artist with no connections just starting out in the industry, you can't do the job of a PR agency. That's not possible. It's literally just impossible. But I realized that I could look at some of the techniques you used, watch some of the language that you used, and that might help me. And then just interacting like with your posts and stuff like that, that's when I saw the seminar, the releasing an album seminar, and I got to, I think, talk to you guys at that point. And yeah, you were very friendly people.
Yeah, I keep forgetting you came to that seminar. Why? I always remember you came to the challenge, but I always forget that you came to the seminar. That's where we first talked.
I was there, yeah.
Okay, so now let's just talk about the seminar for a brief second there. So that was me, Guy, and Holly, if I'm not mistaken, correct? I think so. Okay, cool. So now what did you get out of doing the seminar?
I had planned to release an EP in March of this year. Yeah. I did not do that very wisely. I took a step back. I made a spreadsheet, which I didn't have. I was not keeping track of my costs. I sat down, I made a spreadsheet and worked out what I could feasibly afford and when I could feasibly afford it and when I would need to do things like put out singles and all that kind of stuff. Like basically everything, again, I was doing everything wrong. it made me put a halt on things, which I actually think was good, because it allowed me to, even though I thought about this album a lot, it allowed me to think about it more and approach it in a new, different way. And now I think it's a lot stronger for it and the release will go a lot smoother.
We did a podcast about this last week, I think, about planning your thing with Aaliyah. Aaliyah, do you have any questions about, we talked about the promotion aspect of it at least. Do you have anything you want to add on that with Effie before we continue or ask?
No, I don't think so. I think it sounds like, you know, things are going well and like things are being processed and thought about in a good way. And
I think that's it, that the challenge and the seminar, if nothing else, caused me to just stop, take a breather, and think about things logically rather than just going, I have to put something out now.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah. What you said initially was really interesting. And I had had that mindset as well. You can't have a Spotify page until you have some music out there. And also we kind of pushed our album release in February because we didn't have any music out there. And it was just like, okay, we really need to get this release out and then we can go from there. But we can take a little more caution with the next one, be even more thoughtful, and learn from the album release experience. Cause that is one thing I will say is that you're always going to learn from every release that you do. Even when you think you've got it all down, like perfectly, at least. Well, I shouldn't say that because I've only released one album, but I kind of imagine that's the case, you know. What do you think, Curtis?
I just want to toot your horn again and just bring up the fact that Shield of Wings was the third highest campaign that we've run since the beginning. Granted, we've only been in business for a year, granted, but I'm just saying, because I know you're going to be modest about it. But that was basically Aaliyah's first campaign. No, it wasn't your first campaign, but it's your first major campaign as a band, rather, within a band, rather. And
it was Shield of Wings' first campaign.
Well, yeah, but you know what I mean.
It was my first like real full, because the other campaigns that I did were like 1 month campaigns, like last minute.
Yeah, I was trying to think of a way of making it not sound like you hadn't done it, because you've done it before, but it's not, but it wasn't at the same scale as what I was saying. And I wasn't trying to like negate anything you did before. But yeah, to toot your horn, you did, like, if anybody has not listened to the last podcast that Aaliyah and I did about promotion, go back and listen to it again, because she knocked it out of the park. So I had to toot her horn on that. But back to Effie for a second here. Now they've finished tooting your horn. So Effie was just one thing I want to say about her is that after the seminar was done, I think it was after the seminar, it might have been after the 10-day sales challenge, she started DMing me like usually once a week, I think is what it was, just to stay on my radar, I think, or she's just nuts. I'm not sure which of the two it is, but she
I enjoyed talking to you.
Like I said, nuts or just to stay on my radar. I don't know, one of the two. And then you also stayed in touch with Gaia as well.
Yeah.
I don't know if you stayed in touch with Aaliyah, Holly, or Corey, but I know you definitely have.
Occasional tweets, but I don't think we've ever really spoken. Holly, like I spoke to occasionally, but mostly again on Twitter.
Fair. Yeah, but anyways, my point is that you stayed on the radar and you kept in touch as much as you possibly could. And you would always ask questions, but you would never do it in a way that was like weird or anything like that. Like you were expecting like free advice or something, even though you were, you know, we would give you free advice, but it wasn't like,
you'd give me way more than I asked for. I loved it.
Yeah. Wasn't you were pumping us for information or anything like that. I mean, or at least it didn't come off that way. And I don't think you intended to. No. So anyways, what happened then? Moving fast forward a little bit. So she stayed in touch with me and Gaia, basically. She would also ask Gaia for feedback about her music. And she would also ask me. And I would always say, go to Gaia, because Gaia is the pro on this. But after that, so kind of lead up to how we kind of got you here.
After that, I guess I don't know how I fell on Lindsay's radar, but I remember she followed me and I was like freaking out. And like, I was like, so sure that she'd done it by mistake. I was like really sure she'd done it by mistake. So I didn't want to tell any of my friends or anything, because I was like, then I'll have to explain to them that it was a mistake and she unfollowed me. So I just like sat there like staring at it. I waited like 2 weeks before I told any of my friends. And they were like, that happened 2 weeks ago. Like, that's not, you don't brag about that anymore. And I was like, oh, okay. We talked occasionally, stayed in contact. Yeah, I said to her I was interested in sort of getting involved in PR. I thought it was really interesting. It's kind of like psychology and marketing together, which I just love. I mean, marketing is just applied psychology anyway, but she kind of recommended you guys and then spoke to you, I think.
Yeah, I got a text at like midnight on Friday night.
Sorry.
It was just funny because I just get this message and I'm just like, you should talk to Effie. I'm like, okay, I'll talk to Effie, and then talk to you. And then I was like, okay, we were on the phone for 4 hours. Oh, okay. Okay. So, okay. So yeah. So you guys had talked about the PR thing and then you and I talked after that. So now why, okay. You kind of said you're interested in it being like a combination of marketing and psychology, but
yeah.
Explain that a little bit before we get to.
I think marketing is very interesting. Like it's everywhere. You can't avoid it. It's literally everything. You walk out of the house, you're being marketed at. You stay in your house, you're being marketed at, you know. I think it's interesting to see the inner workings of that to begin with. And to just see, because it, I don't know if I can say that. In its crudest form, it's like psychological manipulation. Why should you listen to this band over that one? Why should you buy this product over that one? And while I do believe music is an art, it is also a product. And I love the fact that it's both. I think that's like super interesting to me as a musician and an artist, you know? And so for me, like learning how to take what is an art, turn it into a product and push it is just like, that's like mind blowing stuff.
Fair enough. So basically, in other words, you're kind of like here to learn how to kind of market your own music, or sorry, publicize your own music, plus how to just do it effectively for other people as well.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing. I'm good at bigging other people up, I think. And I think that's a good skill to have in any marketing job. And I don't know, I think it's like, it combines kind of all the things I like. It's like psychology, it's marketing, it's, you know, English, if you're doing it in English, it's music, there's art involved, like graphics and stuff. And I think all of that, like, is just every single bit of my interest kind of combined into one. So it's kind of like the perfect thing.
Cool. Aaliyah, do you have a follow-up before I continue?
Can we talk a bit about art, actually?
Do it.
I noticed that you have like kind of similar artwork for, do you have like a theme? Let me just ask, do you have like a theme for your artwork?
Well, you know, like I'm a painter. So I was originally just going to paint weird things. But I did some market research and realized that a lot of the people in my genre have artified versions of themselves. That was a lot to get over because I'm quite shy. I didn't really want me on my album, but I realized if I'm doing art, I can look as hot as I want. I'm in control. So I decided to make something that's simple and graphic. It is just me, but with lots of textures. I love grungy textures, and I think that kind of portrays this very smooth drawing, but with the aggressive and the harshness on top. And I felt that was quite representative of my style.
I like that. And you put some thought into what it means.
And the art for my EP, I don't love it. I didn't really know what to do. I'd never released an EP before. And I didn't have the confidence to just go out there and be like, my face is on it, you should buy it. But for my upcoming stuff, I worked much, not harder, but like I worked much more meticulously. And I think it shows, it's a lot prettier.
So you do all your own artwork though?
Yeah, saves a lot of money.
Do you think that, well, I would say, I don't recommend that to everyone, but if you're an artist, yeah, it definitely saves a lot of money. Curtis, do you want to take it from here?
I do. Okay, so I want to go off the art bit again. So let's get back to you as a C-squared person, since we're also doing an introduction to Effie. So first thing first, do you prefer cookies or cake?
Oh no, I'm bad with choices.
There's only one right answer.
I think I prefer cookies to cake.
Okay. Aaliyah?
Yeah, I'm the same.
Okay. Well, we all know
these are like much more dangerous. It's a lot easier to eat them really quickly.
But they're also like, I only like chocolate cake and it's too rich, like, to eat a lot of it. Whereas I could just eat a million cookies.
Right.
You know what I thought, Aaliyah? I thought you were going to say cake, because I thought a cake was more similar to a donut, and you're always talking about donuts, so I kind
of... Oh, you didn't mention donuts. I would have voted donuts.
Donuts and cake are totally different. No.
Okay, well, I kind of think they're a little bit similar, but I guess I'm wrong on that. So I thought you were going to be a cake girl. I was mistaken on that one. Okay. So before we go into some serious questions, so what's your favorite type of cookie, though?
I like to take caramel chocolate and put that in a really like stodgy, gooey cookie. So like the chocolate with the caramel inside, so that when you bite into it, like the chocolate like cracks in this caramel in there. It's so good.
So like a caramel.
Yeah, I guess. No, caramel is like caramel that's also chocolate. No, I'm talking like chocolate with caramel. Like, do you not have that? Like Cadbury caramel.
I've had like there's a candy here in the States. I don't know where else they have it. Rollo candy.
Yes, Rollos, like Rollos. Yes. Rollo cookie.
Okay.
Yes.
And then, Leah, you got to give your favorite cookie before we go to the next bit.
I mean, how can you go anything? If I had to choose one cookie, which it's very, like, I like a lot of different kinds of cookies.
Yeah.
But if you have to choose one cookie, I would say chocolate chip, maybe with some oatmeal in it for texture.
I could go for that. I could go for that. If I was still eating junk food, I would go for that. I would definitely go for that.
Junk food?
Homemade cookies are not junk food.
Let's put it this way. Less than healthy food like that.
Get out of here with your diet talk.
So now that we've talked about cookies, let's talk, Effie. So what makes you think, why did you feel like you would be a asset to C Squared as an intern?
I am a highly motivated person. I can't sit still and do nothing. I need to do things all the time, which means I'm very productive.
Why did you want to work with us specifically?
Because I like you guys. You guys have been very helpful to me. And like you said, you know, I stayed in contact with you mostly because I wanted to know about upcoming seminars. But you've essentially, like, I feel mentored me. In a lot of ways, and I guess in some way I feel beholden to you. Is that the bad word?
Well, it almost feels like you feel obligated to us or something.
No, but like the thing is, like, you know, when I was looking at PR for my AP, there was no one else I wanted to go with. You know, I looked around, and I didn't have the same rapport with anyone I spoke to that I'd had with you guys. And you guys, even though you were getting essentially nothing out of it, I was going to a $25 seminar. You know, you went so beyond that to help me. And it was not just generalized, do this. It was very personalized. Like, that's a nice thing. Like, not just, and I think it's that's the kind of place that I would want to work for, because that's how I see myself.
Okay, I could see that. That makes sense. Personality. What's that, Aaliyah?
I have a follow-up really quick.
Go for it.
So why do you want to, what made you want to kind of take this learning opportunity and extend it to helping out other bands?
The dumb answer to that question is I'm autistic, which means the moment I learn something, I now need to teach everybody around me that that's what we do. So if I learn something and then I don't have anywhere to apply it, that's like the worst thing that can happen. Having a nice, easy way of then applying everything I've learned and doing something and seeing progress and all that kind of stuff, like I get something out of that. But if other people can get something out of me doing that, that's then twice as good.
All right, I thought Aaliyah might have another follow-up, but that's fine. That makes sense. So now, personality-wise, why do you think you fit in?
Because I'm weird.
Oh!
We're the weirdos, mister.
Why, hasn't even really, she hasn't even fucking gotten paid for anything. Holy crap, fired. Just kidding. yeah, okay, fine. But why also than the fact that you're a weirdo?
I just feel that in the times that we have spoken, that we've clicked. I'm, like I said, I'm pretty shy. So when I feel like I can come out of my shell with people and, you know, shoot the shit or whatever, I think that's valuable, very valuable for me. I don't feel like that with everyone. And I think you should surround yourself with people you feel comfortable with.
Fair.
You guys didn't seem to hate me. So that's really good.
Well, we're just pretending, obviously, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so. Obviously, yeah.
Obviously. So we talked about the personality. So let's talk about, so what do you hope to achieve with our clients in the future?
I want to, like, it would be my dream to be the person that takes a relatively unknown band and writes such a compelling piece of PR for them that they get picked up by a major publication and that it's what they need to kickstart their career. That's like the dream, right?
Fair. Okay. No, these are good answers. It's almost like you're getting a job interview again. This is hilarious. So then next thing here. So then can you tell people, like, okay, so if, for example, because you're doing interning now and you're going to be helping with certain campaigns in the very near future, why should our clients trust you to help them? Because you're brand new, you're learning.
Yeah, that's true.
Obviously, one of us is going to be helping with the campaign at all times. It's going to be overseen. You're not going to be thrown in there all by yourself, obviously. So, but why should a client trust you if they find out that you've been put kind of like as the mom or whatever you want to call it in charge of the campaign? Why should they?
Because I am relentless. I'm a relentless person. I like results. I'm cool. Ambitious.
Cool. Any other reasons, or is that the main one?
Also, you know, I think I'm nice, so they won't feel like they're bugging me. And I think that helps.
Fair. Okay, so Aaliyah, do you have a follow-up on this?
No.
Okay, that's fine. So
that's more worrying.
I'm convinced.
Cool. Okay, so where else do I want to go with this here? So Effie, can you kind of go over what your background and your skills are that are relevant to PR?
Well, I am a writer. it's going to sound weird to say I'm a fan of, like, the English language, but I am. Like, I'm a fan. That sounds oddly patriotic. I'm a fan of lots of languages, etymology, and why certain words make us feel certain ways. So I think, and that's, like, a very core part of PR, I think, using the right words to evoke the right feelings.
Yeah.
And for me, being a writer, particularly as, a fantasy writer, that is in my skill set. I'm also a musician, so I understand the needs of musicians and what they're hoping for, and I understand, I can translate what I'm hearing into something that's in the written form.
Cool. And then I got a couple more questions before we wrap up really quickly here. Number one is if by chance you become a C-Squared Music podcast co-host at some point, what do you think you would be bringing to the table if by chance we brought you on at some point?
I often have weird questions that other people don't ask, and it leads to very interesting answers from people.
Give me an example of a weird question and then we're going to wrap up.
For me, a weird question, I guess, it depends who I'm talking to, but I tend to, like, deep dive research people. And then I find, like, one random thing that they mentioned, a throwaway comment in a interview 4 years ago, and it just, I get stuck on it, and I need to know more about that kind of thing.
I think me and Aaliyah know someone who does this too. There's someone.
Me?
Yeah. That's awesome. Perfect answer, Effie. Do you have any final questions, Aaliyah, for Effie before we wrap up?
What's your favorite movie?
A Beautiful Mind.
Oh, good choice.
Never seen it, but I do know the substance of it.
It's good one.
Yeah, it is. Also, any final words, Effie, before we wrap up?
Stay safe out there.
Cool.
Thank you for being on the podcast, Effie.
Thank you for having me.
Pleasure to speak with you. And
yeah, finally.
Yeah. And until next time, everyone, make like a bull and throw those horns up.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please help spread the word by leaving us a 5-star review on your platform of choice. You can also join the conversation by following us on any social media and suggesting guests or topics you'd like to learn more about. Thanks for listening to C Squared.